Good morning, everybody. Yeah, we're feeling a bit mellow here in the Panic Podcast studio. It's Friday, the end of the work week. For those of you that are working, nice to have you with us today. And today we are studying the Holy Spirit with an emphasis on the gifts of the Spirit. And today we're going to begin looking in earnest at the gifts of the Spirit as listed by Paul. And we're going to begin with the gift of apostleship. So get your Bibles opened up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll get started in just a second. I'll tell you what, you know, you got to feel sorry for kids today. The music that they listen to is nothing like the stuff that that you and I grew up with back in the 60s and 70s, and may I say, especially the 80s. The stuff they listen to, how sad it is. Well, it's good to have you along, as I say, on this end of the week Bible study. And hope you all had a good week, and I hope that you have been enjoying our 3-minute Bible studies Monday through Friday. Excuse me, we've been studying hell, hellish things, and all things having to do with hell from different Bible verses, and got some interesting comments back about those studies. So thanks for that. Always nice to hear from you, and I forget to post our email address. If you're on the website, you can just email me at mike@witsend.info, WITZEND.info. You can email me a comment or a question or a prayer request. We have our prayer warriors that, as we say, they're kneeling by waiting to take your prayer requests. We always take that very, very seriously in this church. In fact, we have a whole room that is just a prayer room where people can go in and pray. It's quiet. It's we consider it to be just it's an important thing and a privilege to pray for other people. And of course you can leave your prayer requests or comments or questions in the comment section too on my website. If you're on if you're on Telegram, you can reach us that way too. Just leave a comment. And if you're on Facebook, you can leave a comment there as well. Okay, let's read a few verses at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as we begin our Friday study, the Holy Spirit, specifically the gift of apostleship. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning to read at verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gifts of teaching? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Okay, now, because there are different lists of spiritual gifts in the New Testament, which we will read at some point during the study, we're not going to read them today. What we're reading here is obviously a partial list of the spiritual gifts. Paul is giving an example to his Corinthian readers. Now, it could very well be that the gifts he's listed here were the big gifts at work in the Corinthian church. Maybe they were the gifts that were causing problems in the Corinthian church. Not the gifts per se, but the way different members were practicing the gifts. We don't know why Paul chose this group of gifts, but he did. And we'll begin looking at the first one where it says, "And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, teachers, and so on." So let's talk about apostles, first of all. Now, I am on record as saying that we don't have apostles today, and I maintain that steadfast belief. There are no apostles in the church today. Now, I know that there are some churches that talk about, Apostle Smith or Apostle Jones or whatever, and I have no idea what they're talking about. No clue whatsoever. Because if you read the New Testament, to be an apostle, you had to be somebody that walked and talked with Jesus, taught directly by the Lord. And there were only a finite number of apostles. So what is it that Paul is getting at here? Well, there were apostles in the church. He was one of them. He was called himself a man born out of time. In other words, he should have been one of the 12. He should have been one of the 12, he always thought. But as far as being taught personally by Jesus, he was. He was taught by Jesus personally. He was taught by the risen Lord. So you have apostles in the early church. They were one of the foundational gifts. They were the ones who founded the church. But there is something called the gift of apostleship. So let's call it what it is. It's the gift of apostleship, okay? Now, let's talk about that. I got a story here that I thought was kind of interesting. I'm going to read it to you. Two young missionary students spent the summer before their graduation as short-term missionaries in Taiwan. Good friends. They had often discussed whether or not the Lord wanted them on the mission field. Now they decided to spend 3 months to see how they acclimated. One enjoyed his stint to the hilt, loved being in Taiwan, loved being a missionary. He adapted readily to the culture. He never got sick. He learned bits and pieces of the language, and the time just flew by for this young man. The second prospective missionary hated the food, couldn't pick up on the language at all, became ill 3 different times, and wanted to spend most of his time with the Americans rather than with the nationals. At the end, he exclaimed, "Well, I guess I never really wanted to be a missionary after all." Meanwhile, his companion could hardly wait to apply to the missionary board to return after his final seminary year. That's an interesting little story told by Leslie Flynn in his book, 19 Gifts of the Spirit. I think that little story is an indication of what we're talking about here when we talk about the gift of apostleship. The term is closely identified with a missionary in our contemporary way of thinking. So while we do not have apostles in the church today, we have missionaries. So just think for a minute about what an apostle did in the first century church. Think about Peter. Think about Paul. These men traveled all over the place founding churches, taking the gospel to people who had never heard it before, right? Training indigenous converts to become pastors of churches. So the apostle in the New Testament functioned as a missionary. So we would call it, and some people have in fact called it, the gift of apostleship. Now, let's talk about apostle, the use of the word. If you do a word study of this term in the New Testament, you need to understand the gift as a whole. It's found some 70 to 80 times in the New Testament, depending on what translation you're looking at. The very number would indicate something of the significance of the word apostle. It occurs in 19 of the 27 books of the New Testament. The number of times it occurs in various books of the Bible are, you ready for this? One time in Mark's and John's Gospels, 28 times in Paul's writings, 34 times in Luke's writings, 28 in Acts and 6 in the Gospel of Luke, one time in the letter to the Hebrews and Jude, two times in 2 Peter, and three times in Revelation. So the distribution of that word apostle throughout the entire New Testament and its use by the multiple number of writers also places a great deal of emphasis on the idea of apostleship and the emphasis on the missionary concept. Now remember, an apostle during the New Testament era was somebody who had been taught personally by the Lord Jesus himself. And Paul included himself in that number because he had been taught personally by the risen Lord, okay? But as I say, the gift of apostleship is the gift that someone has, and it's not everybody by a long shot, who has a desire to leave their country of origin and go somewhere to preach the gospel to people who've never heard it before. Or if they stay in their country of origin, to go somewhere where there are not many churches or preachers or whatever. Like I think of my own country in Canada, for example. There are in northern Canada, there are places places where there's permafrost and it's like winter 11 and a half months out of the year. Places where their churches are very, very scarce and where the population is scarce too. But, people don't want to go there to preach the gospel or to pastor churches. And it takes a very special person with a very special call on his life and a gift to go and minister to people that nobody else wants to go to, either because of distance or just the situation of where these people live. And I recall even when I was in Bible college back in the early 80s, I never wanted to be a missionary. Because number one, I don't like winter. I think all of you know that, but I just don't like winter. And, I know the Lord has a sense of humor, and God with his sense of humor would send me to barren Alaska or the South Pole somewhere to preach the gospel to Eskimos or something. And there's just no way I want that. I was always scared to death that God was going to call me to the mission field. And we did this. One of my friends in college, this is a terrible thing that we did. He was praying about, it was a third or fourth year, I can't remember which. And we were all deciding, did we want to pastor a church? Were we going to come back and get our degrees? Were we going to, the whole youth ministry thing was just becoming, it was a burgeoning ministry back then. There were not huge youth ministries, and that was, it was coming into its own. And, we were praying about what we wanted to do. And as I recall, nobody really wanted to be a missionary. And this one poor fella, he just didn't know. He was on the fence. He was going to pursue his degree in missions or something. And we managed to convince him. We convinced him that God wanted him to become a missionary to Zimbabwe. And we through various and devious means, we convinced him. And of course, we didn't think anything of it. And, several years after the fact, we find out that he became a missionary. It wasn't to Zimbabwe, but it was somewhere else. I've always wondered, is that my fault? I mean, did I plant that seed in his mind? And he took it too seriously. I like to think God is sovereign anyway. And you know, used me and my buddies to kind of move him along in his will for this person. Let's take a look at again the word apostle as we get serious for just a second. The word apostle, in addition to being personally taught by the Lord, that was a qualification of an apostle, but it denotes one who is sent with full authority. Prior to the resurrection of Jesus, he was the one who did the sending. Since the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is the one who does the sending, but it's still with the same authority and purpose. So, in addition, as I said, to being personally taught and being ministered to by the Lord Jesus while he was alive, an apostle is one who is sent by the Lord, later by the Holy Spirit, with the full authority of the Lord himself, like an ambassador. And as I say, it's the Holy Spirit who does that now. It's the Holy Spirit who calls an individual into the mission field. The apostle stands fully under the jurisdiction of the Lord, of his master, and derives from him all that he is and his total purpose. So apostleship is according to the sovereign will of God. It is not the result of a special decision of a person, nor is it a special spiritual endowment. It is solely the initiative of the sender. You have to be called to be a missionary. It's a very, very special calling, and the gift of apostleship, the gift of being a missionary, is very, very serious. It's not something you gin up on yourself, by yourself. An apostle is specifically the representative of Jesus Christ. This means that there's no room for boasting on the part of the apostle himself. It's a position of deep humility and never of exaltation. And that's really how you can tell, like an individual, a missionary, someone who preaches the gospel in different parts of the world. You can tell if it is truly a calling in their lives by the spirit with which they fulfill that calling. You know, are they humble? Do they give the glory to the Lord? That kind of thing. I always remember having to listen to missionaries when they would come back, and you know, they would always come back to preach to raise money for their stint in the mission field, you know. And they would always never fail. They'd bring back their little voodoo masks and their spears and, you know, the typical things, artifacts from the land where they were preaching and ministering. And even as a young Christian, I can remember sensing when the person that was doing the speaking was really doing what they were doing because they loved the Lord. You know, there's a lot of missionaries tend to be sort of exalted figures, let me put it that way, in different denominations. If you're a missionary, you kind of get special treatment at conventions and, you know, presbytery meetings or district conferences or whatever. And the true missionary is somebody that goes and ministers. He doesn't care about acclaim. He doesn't do what he does so that he would be noticed. He doesn't name a hospital after himself or, you know, a local Bible college after himself or whatever. He doesn't care about that stuff. He's someone who disappears in a foreign crowd, taking the gospel to people that have never heard it before, training up pastors in his area of ministry. That's a genuine, that's a person who is exercising the gift of apostleship. Apostleship is not an office or a position. That's why I say, excuse me, there are no apostles today. it is a it's a commission. It's a calling. The apostle is called, commissioned, sent by the Lord Jesus Christ. This being true, it's a privilege. It is a privilege to go and minister wherever you are called to go. An apostle receives his character from the one who sends him. As I say, a missionary is representing not his church or his missionary organization. He is representing Jesus Christ himself. The gift of apostleship denotes the commissioned representative of a congregation or of a, say, a denomination. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 for a second. I'm going to show you an interesting verse here. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 23. Listen to this. Paul's talking about Titus, right? As for Titus, he is my partner and co-worker among you. As for our brothers, they are representatives of the churches and an honor to Christ. Now, look at who Paul's talking about here. Now, he's not talking about anybody that was personally taught by Jesus. As far as we know, he's talking about Titus, who was his partner and co-worker. And as for our brothers, so that's other people that were working with Jesus, with Paul, who may or may not have been apostles in the New Testament sense. They are representatives of the churches and an honor to Christ. So these individuals representing Christ, first of all, and the churches from where they were sent, were considered, you know, partners of Paul's and individuals practicing the gift of apostleship. The supreme task of one who has the gift of apostleship, the one who is a missionary, one who is a sent one, is to make known, proclaim, and announce publicly the gospel of Jesus Christ. His acts are according to the will of God. And since he acts in accordance to the will of God, he has no option as to personal autonomy and is to be fully committed to the will of God and totally dedicated to the task of preaching God's word, teaching God's word, and leading to the conversion of the lost. Because of this relation to Jesus, the missionary, the individual who has the gift of apostleship active in his life, is given by Jesus the power to act. By his action, he gives proof of the commission. And that's why I say that these missionaries who are truly doing the work of the Lord, who are endowed with the spiritual gift of apostleship, their work will prove that they possess this very special gift. And I think that of all the gifts of the Spirit, of all the various gifts of the Spirit, I think that this one is probably the most rare. And when I say rare, I mean that not many believers have this gift. And it's not, and I think that could be for different reasons. But if you look at this, where Paul says in verse 31, back at 1 Corinthians 12, now eagerly desire the greater gifts. If you read that whole chapter, Paul goes to great lengths to convince the Corinthian readers that, you know, no one spiritual gift is better than the other. And yet at the end of his discussion, he says eagerly desire the greater gifts. What that means is that you need to desire the gifts of the Spirit, yes. Should you desire certain gifts more than others? Only if you think that they would benefit you and your ministry. Okay? So, in other words, you may be in a situation where you feel as though you need the gift of a gift of healing, or you feel like you need another gift to bless somebody or to help somebody out. And that's what Paul's getting to here, is that you know, pray for that gift for that moment, so that you can be a blessing to someone else. Now, if the gift of apostleship is, as I believe it to be, a very special gift given to missionaries, you know, there aren't that many missionaries, and therefore there's not going to be that many people blessed with the gift of apostleship. So, for that reason, I say that it is not, you know, perhaps the rarest of all gifts. Because number one, there aren't many missionaries. Number two, there aren't many people that want to become missionaries. So they're not going to covet that particular gift. Having said that, there is an urgent need and call for missionaries all over the world. There are places in the world that have never had the gospel preached, believe it or not. There are people in the world who have never heard about Jesus. I know that's hard to believe with the internet, with satellite communications and all this stuff, but there are people to whom the gospel has not been preached. And the Holy Spirit is even today ready and willing to bestow this special gift of apostleship on those whom he chooses. And I would say that it behooves each of us as individuals to listen very carefully to what he says to us. He's that small, tiny little voice that whispers into your ear. The Holy Spirit is the gentlest of all. It's the responsibility of individuals, but it's also the responsibility of every congregation of believers to be an instrument of the Holy Spirit in calling out the called. There may be people in your congregation that are toying with the idea of becoming a missionary. You need to pray for that person. Pray diligently for that person. And you pastors that are listening to this, I know that this, you know, I know there are pastors that listen to these studies. You know, take seriously the idea that God is still calling individuals to the mission field. They may not have the MDivs that you have. They may not have their doctorate of theologies and so on. But God calls people who are most willing to answer that call. And, you know, we need to be ready to pray and to assist individuals that God is calling to do his work in places where maybe you and I would never, ever, ever think about going for whatever reason. So that's the gift of apostleship, and I think we'll hold it there for now. We'll pick up, we'll look at the next, we'll look at the next gift next Friday, which according to our list here is prophets, the gift of the prophet. We'll talk about what that means in today's world next Friday. In the meantime, let's pray and bow in a word of prayer and be about our day today. Lord, we thank you so much for all those individuals that dare to travel the world preaching and teaching your word. They go to places where you and I would never go, where you and I, my listeners, would never go out of fear or other reasons. We're so thankful, Lord, that there are still people who would just pack up and go with the Bible tucked under their arm to teach your word to the lost that need to know more about Jesus. So, Lord, I pray that you'd keep our missionaries safe. I pray that you would just endow them with all kinds of wisdom and discernment. Keep them healthy. Keep them inspired. And please, Lord, let our missionaries know that we're praying for them. and we think that they are just the choicest of God's servants. I pray that you would keep us all safe till we can meet together again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, gang, that's it for today. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Panic Podcast and learning about the gift of apostleship. We'll be back on Monday when we're going to be talking about our great salvation and prayer. That's Monday on the Panic Podcast. Have a great weekend. Be sure you go to church on Sunday. See you back here Monday. God bless.